another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Paul Dottino, David Deal with you. We will be here for the next hour to take your questions, your comments, and all of your remarks about the New York Football Giants as they continue preparations to take on the Detroit Lions Sunday, 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. Two teams that are excellent field position for the playoffs. The Giants coming off that huge win against Dallas the other night. Detroit riding a six-game winning streak, David, which the Giants had lost the previous week in Pittsburgh. So both teams certainly have a lot to play for.
They most certainly do. Both of these teams are fighting to finish off this season, but more importantly, to stack wins the way that they need to in order to win the division and ensure themselves a place in the playoffs. And statistically, you look at both of these teams, and they're very close defensively, but offensively, running the football has been an issue for both of these football teams. The Detroit Lions coming in with a 29th rushing team, and the New York Giants currently sitting at 31st. And you see the way that they've been able to operate with two veteran quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Eli Manning. So this is going to be a huge game for the New York Giants, and which is one of the most important games, I think, here down the stretch. I think people are taking this game lightly. And one of the things that you really have to think about is, you think about the last two games the Giants have played.
Right.
4:25 in Pittsburgh. Mid-afternoon, prime time. You know it's a big one, a big game. You know what the intensity of that game is. The following week, to play Sunday night football up against the Dallas Cowboys. Once again, prime time, night game, easy to get up. Now back to a 1 o'clock kickoff at home against the Detroit Lions. Right away from the start, this New York Giants football team have got to start fast, and they've got to make sure that they take the momentum and use this home field to their advantage right away, because we have seen the way that the Detroit Lions have been able to win in the fourth quarter. You think about game-winning drives. Right now, Matthew Stafford, number one in the NFL with eight of them, and they have been in some very close, tight games in the fourth quarter, and they have been battle-tested and found ways to finish and win those football games.
You know what's interesting about this, David? You talk about a good start and for the Giants not to be caught in a malaise.
Yep.
They were in a malaise, for example, in London, when they opened that game against the Rams, and it took Landon Collins to make a big play, running back a pick six that really got that team, woke them up, for lack of a better term. The Giants cannot afford to get into a malaise against the Lions. They just can't.
No, they cannot. They have to make sure that they come out, strike first, and make sure they keep that momentum throughout this entire game. And this is another game where it will be known whether special teams or defense will have a contribution to help put points on this board and give that momentum swing that either team needs. So this is a huge game for the New York Giants to, like we said, to be able to come out at home and prove who they are, all phases, offense, defense, special teams, to play in harmony with one another to come away with a big win up against the Detroit Lions.
All right, before we sign off on Twitter, I want to mention, since David brought up special teams, the Giants special teams were sensational against the Cowboys.
Yes, they were.
We talked about it all week here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. As great as the defense was, special teams met the challenge as well. Today, the NFC special teams player of the week wound up being Giants punter Brad Wing.
Well deserved. He has been kicking phenomenal all season, punting the ball, getting it down where it needs to be inside the 20, and he had a fantastic
game.
Five of nine in the battlefield position up against the Dallas Cowboys.
And don't forget the two down inside the five by Dwayne Harris, who could have easily been the co-special teams
player
of the
week. No question. No question.
So, all right, folks, on Twitter, sign off there if you like and go to Giants.com. Catch the rest of our Big Blue Kickoff Live program until 1 o'clock today. 201-939-4513 is our phone number, 201-939-4513, or you can hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. Quick reminder, and I want to do this before we get to the end of the program because I do not want to forget, it is Toys for Tots Day Sunday here at MetLife Stadium when the Giants take on the Detroit Lions. The Giants have been doing the annual Toys for Tots. I mean, I can't even begin to tell
Either
you when it started.
Long before I was a player.
Oh,
here
my
as well.
Goodness. And it's a great thing, folks. They do it in conjunction with Toyota and the United States Marines. You bring your unwrapped toys to the gates, and the Marines will be there to collect them. New toys, coloring books, all kinds of great things that little kids can appreciate for the holidays. I know Victor Cruz had a holiday toy drive recently himself.
Yes, he did.
With his Victor Cruz Foundation. But the Giants do one independently. So even if you contributed to Victor's, please try to contribute to the Giants one. Be generous if you can, and bring a gift that some little child can appreciate during the holidays, because there's nothing better than a child who smiles in the holidays.
No, there isn't, and what a better opportunity for all of us. Giants fans, unite and bring something great to make a difference in a kid's life, especially at Christmas time.
And also, we understand that Modell Sporting Goods is going to be handing out coupons for selected Nike products to everybody who donates a toy. So that's even a little bonus and a little generosity being given out by the people at Modell's and Nike in return for your generosity. So that's pretty cool.
It is, but, you know, karma goes around, comes around. So you do good by other people, it comes back to you.
Now, hopefully the Giants won't give the Lions a victory.
That's the only thing you do not want to give on Sunday is a way to win.
Let's go to the calls. Roldy from Long Island, you are first on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Pete? What's going on, Dave?
Good to see you, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Dave, we could sure use you on that offensive line, man. It's crazy. My question is, why isn't Flowers benched yet?
Why? Because he's one of the best five players on the offensive line, and because, quite frankly, there's no one better qualified to play.
You're really going to say he's really the best offensive lineman on the – are you serious?
He said one of the best five.
This guy is horrible, though. I mean, he's going to cost his games. This is the reason why this offense is not gelling, man. Of course, it's not just him. It's the other guys on the offensive line. But it's mainly him. And I understand Eli Manning is not having a really good year. But at the same time, the reason why is because the offensive line is not giving him time. And I'm not the only Giants fan. I know a lot of Giants fans do not want to see this guy on the field. And I can't understand how Ben McAdoo. What is he seeing that he sees in Jennings that he's starting the guy? Because to me, it looks like Jennings looked like a slow old man out there. It's time to move on. Maybe not move on from Jennings. Maybe just using him on short yardage. But to try to at least energize this offense, why can't we start a Perkins?
Well, I think experience is one of the reasons why Jennings is still getting his touches in the lineup, because he is a bigger guy, he's a little bit stronger, but I do know they like his experience, Dave. And in critical times like this, it's the mentality and it's the understanding about what you see that often makes the difference.
It really is. And it is, believe me, you want to sit here and talk about Rashad Jennings. It is collectively a group that has to get it done. And I believe me, everybody loves a change of pace. Everybody loves when a back can come in and ignite some things like Paul Perkins. But you have to pound the football. You have to set those runs up by being able to be physical in between the tackles.
I get the offensive line is not there. But Jordan Renan put out on a Twitter that there was a hole on the right side Jarrell Adams had set up. There was a nice hole. All of a sudden, you see Jennings just dancing and going where there's no holes. And I just can't understand. And this is what Giants fans is frustrated about, because we're trying to stress out. You know, it's and I get it. You guys are on the field, and I get it. You guys work for the team. But there are knowledgeable Giants fans out there, and we see what's going on with this team. And it's just if Flowers is getting penalties and he's just not blocking right, then sit him out for a quarter. Sit him out for a game. Teach him. Put somebody else there. If the offense, the running back is not doing a good job, then change it up. Change it up. Fans see this and are outraged. We're upset. Hopefully we make the playoffs, but with this offensive line, with the way this offense is going, we're not going it further. We're not going there. It's not like the 07, 11, 11 team. And David, and I know you see that. I know when you see that offensive line play, I know you just want to pull your hair. You're like, what the hell is going on? To me, it's just frustrating.
All right, Roldy. Call us again another time. We want to move on. We got a lot of people ringing us.
Roldy's rolling.
Yeah, he was. You know, I'm only going to say one thing in response to the call, and Howard Cross has said it now for weeks to everybody who wants to criticize any player on the team. The coaches want to win more than anybody, including the fans,
absolutely,
the announcers, the guys who are collecting tickets at the ticket booths. Trust me, the coaches want to win more than anybody. And if they think that they got a better chance to win by replacing a player in the lineup, they're going to do it.
They will. And how do you earn your way out onto the football field? It's not only performances on Sunday, but it's the way that you practice and perform during the week. And at this point, even with there's problems, if there are problems and things and adversity hit out on the football field, other players would get their opportunity if they were prepared and ready to go.
I'll give you a good example. Bobby Hart got a chance to be the starting right tackle when Marshall Newhouse got dinged up.
Yep.
And guess what? Bobby Hart did such a good job, the coach said, you get to stay.
Done.
Better guy gets to stay. If there was somebody they thought would do a better job at left tackle, he would play.
Nothing is given to you in the NFL. You earn everything, and it's on a daily basis. So, I mean, yeah, I understand. I can hear frustration in fans. I get it. But it takes all 11 as a group, and the players that are out there are the team's best five offensive linemen.
And if you need more examples, Andrew Adams took the safety spot away from Nat Burhe.
Yep.
When Burhe got hurt, Adams played well enough that he stole the spot. Jarrell Adams over the last month has stolen snaps from Larry Donnell.
Yep.
If you earn the snaps, you'll get them.
You'll get them.
That's it. Joseph from Queens, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Good to talk to you, Joseph.
Oh, cool. I was wondering, David, in your professional opinion, if you saw anything that Flowers could improve on during the season, like the coaches could work on and maybe see like kind of a turnaround, something small, because sometimes, players click during the season.
First of all, when it comes to things and playing football, there are no small things. Every detail and minute detail is critical, especially as an offensive lineman, when it is in regards to technique and fundamentals and being consistent with them play in and play out. Because we've always said, the eye in the sky does not lie. Mm-hmm. What you put on tape the week before or throughout the season, if you do not correct it, the opposing defense and that opposing defensive player will expose it. And in this regard, and we're talking to Eric Flowers, it is all about technique. It is about being able to strike, keeping your head and shoulders back, and being able to restart and redirect a defensive end with your hands inside the framework. This is something that, Paulie, you and I have talked about. You know, a lot of times people talk about leverage as an offensive lineman, and they always think it's pad leverage. Inside hand leverage is one of the most important things you can have in the run game and in the passing game. It allows you to redirect, steer, and control a defensive lineman. So that's the biggest thing that needs to be fixed and has been the continuing thing is being able to punch, having head and shoulders back, and being able to redirect or make a defensive end restart his rush. And until that is fixed, until it is done out on the football field, it is going to be a repeated pattern.
You know, the shame of it is Eric Flowers has been blessed with a big, powerful, strong boxcar body, and he doesn't play like he's got one.
Yeah.
That's the shame of it.
Yeah, that was great. Also, do you think Ty has the body frame to play like fullback and tight end like maybe next year or something?
No.
Will Johnson is the guy who's supposed to be doing that, and he got hurt and went to IR. He has a contract that goes through next season, so he'll be back.
Yes, he'll be back and then figure.
That'll be his job.
That'll be his job. But in that regards, no, Will Ty does not have that. He is not the elite blocker that you need. He does not bring that brute force. Otherwise, you would not only see him as a tight end, you would see him on special teams as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And if I say one thing really quick, want to say you guys heard it here first. I think MVP this year, Brad Wade. I'll leave it with that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Joseph. Brad Wing deserves every accolade that he gets. League MVP, that's a stretch.
Well, he was saying, I think, team MVP.
Team MVP, that's still a stretch.
I think that's still a stretch,
Landon Collins would be my guy.
That would be my pick as of now. Right now, Landon Collins would be my pick for the most improved player this season. And just think about the impact plays he's had not only on the defensive side, but the way that he's been able to switch momentum and give possessions to this offense.
I tell you what, you got some runner-ups, though. Janoris Jenkins
Jenkins, correct.
Olivier Vernon has been sensational.
Yep.
I mean, you know, there are a few guys here who could fight for that award, but I'd go Collins right now. Spencer, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, David, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we
got
you. Now we got you.
Sorry. All right, the first two callers kind of stole some of my thunder. I feel like all week we've just been beating on Flowers.
It's a copycat league.
You know, it is what it is. You know, like you said, you just got to hope things get better as technique comes along. But I was mainly calling today, as the first caller said, about Perkins. I'd really like to see more of him out on the field. As I watch the games, from what I see, it seems like he's picking up the blitz pretty well. He leaks out into the flat. I don't know. Is there a reason why they're staying with Jennings so much? I know it's starting to get – you're starting to see more Perkins, but I'm just curious if you could see a scenario where Perkins actually becomes a lead back by the end of the season.
I mean, that can always be a scenario based on the way that you perform and play here down the stretch. I mean, if you really think about it, in Week 14, the percentage of passing was 36% compared to 51% rushing. In the first half, the first 13 games, 63% pass to 48% running the football. So you could see a complete change in the way that they're attacking on the offensive side of the ball and the ability to make sure that they control and protect the time of possession and make sure that they get the carries on the offensive side of the ball so that defenses do not make the New York Giants offense one-dimensional, and Eli Manning can do a lot more things off of play action than he can after just sitting back and dropping back in 5 and 7 step drops.
You know, there is something to be said for the change of pace too. And baseball folks will know about this. You got a flamethrower, or you got a guy who's a finesse pitcher and he's throwing a lot of junk. And then all of a sudden the relief pitcher comes in and he's exactly the opposite. Well, that can make him much more effective because of the contrast in styles.
Yes.
And maybe the Giants believe that as opposed to just loading up with Paul Perkins as the lead back, maybe they believe that the contrast in styles of going to the changeup is actually more effective because it's throwing defenses off.
That definitely changes the pace of the game. It changes the way that defenses flow on the backside of plays, sometimes holding a backside defensive end for contain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you talk about in a zone running scheme. There's no front side. Everybody's
right.
Front side because of the way that some defenses play, and that ball may cut back or cut up to the A gap or the B gap opposite. So it is a very different thing when you have different backs approaching, but at the same time, it's all based on who performs the best, and you're going to stick with the hot hand.
All right, Spencer, thank you. Anything else?
No, that's it. I just, you know, I'm getting a little concerned as the week's going on that there's a little bit of an overlook of the Detroit Lions. I mean, they're playing real well. I know Stafford's hands hurt, and it just seems, you know, we're coming off such a big week, Dallas week, and we win, and it's such a huge thing, and I hate to use the word letdown game, but, you know, I just I'm curious to see how Ben has the troops ready to rock and roll on Sunday and take care of business.
Thank you, Spencer. What do you think about the letdown philosophy here, David? Is there a letdown?
One can only hope not, because you know how important this game is, and you realize how important it is to take care of your own business. You know, I've been in a situation where we've had to rely on other teams to
That's
lose.
That's not fun.
And it is the worst thing that you can ever do, because then once you do that and it doesn't come through, then you're looking back at the games that you lost and you regret, whether it was one play here or one play there or this, and there's nothing that you can do about it. When you can control your own destiny and stack wins and realize how important the critical games that are in front of you in December are, and how each one, not looking past anybody, how each game in itself is a playoff game.
Let's make something very clear. As the Giants sit here today at 9-4, the magic number to absolutely 100% clinch a playoff spot is to get to 11 wins.
Yes.
With 10 wins, there are scenarios, as minuscule as they may be, that could knock the Giants out of the playoffs.
Yes.
So if you know that 11 guarantees you a playoff spot, then why wouldn't you do everything you can to try to get to 11?
That's the case. I mean, that is always the case. Stack wins. Play each game like it's your last game. And I know that these are cliches, but it is so true. And we see each and every December at this time when a team needs to win a game or has a game that they're supposed to win, there's a let up there and there's a letdown game.
You remember a 10-win team that didn't
yes.
make the playoffs.
Yes, I do.
Very well you do.
Yeah.
Yep. So how would you like to have that happen again? Can't do that. That's the carrot that Coach McAdoo has to give these players. We go to Nugs at 201-939-4513. You're on line four. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing real good. Nice to talk to you again, Dave.
You as well.
I kind of want to piggyback on what the last caller just said. Not as much as a letdown game, but I just think that, you know, it's like how David said, you know, whatever a player puts on tape, eventually, you know, the defensive players on the other side will capitalize on. I think that's kind of happening to our offense just a little bit. I know that we're down some guys and we can't really have the power running game that we want. I'm not going to bellyache about that again, Paul. It is what it is. I mean, I just hope that we can find a way to run it in the red zone because we're getting there a lot regardless. So I just hope that, you know, when we get into the red zone and we really need that situational run that can get us into the end zone, that we can find a way to get it in there.
And, Nugs, that is the most intelligent way to look at it.
Yes.
Because it is what it is. You got to make the best of it, and you got to hope that in spots when you need to have balance or when you need to drain clock or when you need to power the ball in to move the chains or to get a touchdown, you hope that in those spots it shows up. That's the only way you can approach it right now.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lie. I had a good feeling going into Dallas because, you know, divisional game, we know each other well. I feel like our defense is a championship-caliber defense. Not going to say we're the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears or the 86 Giants, but I just feel like, you know, I feel good going into a fist fight with our defense against anybody in the league. But I just don't think that we can win very many games 10-7 against opponents that we don't see twice a year, that we haven't seen 100 times in the past. You know, I just think that somehow our offense needs to get more creative. And I'm never gonna, you know, poo-poo 9-4. It feels good to be 9-4, even though all the analysts and me myself, I feel like when you look at our numbers, time of possession, our turnover differential, it's a great thing to be 9-4 when, you know, just looking at the statistics, it doesn't really add up to it, but I'm going to take it regardless because this is my team. But what I really want to see is somehow, I mean, Odell Beckham is such a game changer. If we didn't have him, I don't know what we would be doing. We would probably be, you know, way worse than we are. I mean, our offensive line is and to the other callers who were killing flowers, Pro Football Focus graded him out average. I mean, I know he had that one play where he didn't get the hand on the guy, and it kind of, when he did get the hand on the dude, he kind of threw him into Eli for the fumble. I mean, and everybody's overreacting to that. But for the game, I think that Dallas got a lot more pressure off of the right side of the line than they did off of the left side of the line, just looking at the game myself. But I just think that somehow we need to figure out how to get I called in yesterday, and I want to see what you think about this.
Yeah, Nugs, we were losing you on your cell phone, and I don't know if you could hear it on your end, but we were losing you on this end, so we got to let you go, but please call us back again tomorrow. David, the one thing that you'll remember during the last Super Bowl season when the Giants were 32nd in rushing,
yes,
okay, was that situational runs worked well for you guys down the stretch. and there was some semblance of a situational running game, which did allow for a little bit more balance and help this team out in terms of time of possession and keeping the defense off the field. It's not the preferred way to do it, but it can be done.
It absolutely can. And you think about that season in 2011, that was the month of December is the only month where we averaged over 100 yards rushing every game in the month of December.
Right.
No other month did we do that. And I think it comes down to, number one, a dedication and commitment to it, because you understand what it does for your offense and to defenses and defensive linemen. I mean, if defensive linemen aren't scared about the run, they're just playing the run on the way to the quarterback with their ears pinned back. But two, it allows you, when the elements, the cold weather start taking place, it allows you to start breaking down the will of defenses by having them in there in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. And then by the fourth quarter, those runs that are 1, 2, 3 yard gains start breaking off into bigger runs because of either missed tackles, arm tackles, or defenses worn down. So it's a mentality about that. And you were talking about scoring. It's going to be very important in this game to put up points for the Giants offense, because you think about the Detroit Lions defense. They've gone 9 games this season with giving up 20 or fewer points, which is the most in the NFL. And it's been 7 straight where they have not allowed 20 or more points. And to go back, my numbers, I was looking at them. I wrote them down wrong. I forgot to put a line. So my numbers weren't adding up into the rush category. But the Giants in this past game up against the Cowboys were committed to the run more than any other games this season.
Okay.
Giants in this game, week 14, 48% pass to 51% rush. The rest of the season, weeks 1 through 13, 63% pass, 36% rush. There's the numbers. So that is a very big difference in the way that the Giants came out and tried to attack and neutralize the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, the one thing I want to add to all of this is that ultimately, and I know that we have one Twitter comment which has tried to bring up something, and I want David to respond to it. For all of Eric Flowers' faults, and he certainly has a bunch of them, no one's going to say that he doesn't. He's played with 4 different left guards this year.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
It's not easy. It's the offensive line is not a plug-and-play position.
It's not.
You have to have a mesh. You have to have continuity. You have to be on the same page communication-wise, and that's going to be important to see if he will have this week. The veteran, Justin Pugh, next to him will help out if he is in there in the lineup as a starting left guard to help Eric Flowers in this game up against the Detroit Lions.
All right, the Giants pre-practice injury report has been released. No surprises here coming off of last week or out of the game against the Cowboys. The only addition that I see who's totally brand new to the list is Keenan Robinson with a shoulder. Don't know how new that is. Maybe he's been playing with it. I don't know. But they're now listing him with a shoulder. And, of course, we still have listed Vereen and Herzlick and Burhe in the concussion protocol.
Yes.
So we move on. Line 2, Brandon is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. I just want to make some comments. I am repeating myself on one or two things. But first, I want to just say Spagnuolo really pulled a Belichick against that Cowboys game. It was really impressive. I believe game one against the Cowboys, he had Apple on Beasley, and he struggled. And then he put DRC. He switched off. In this game, he went back to him and really played well. Covering Witten, he had 3 or 4 guys just doing all different things. That was confusing me, actually. And really just as a whole, he put the defense as a whole to go win and not necessarily matchups. My second thing, Giant Stadium finally got loud. These night games are really much better than the day games. I guess there's not much corporate people there. I'm a little shocked that they didn't build the stadium knowing there's a lot of white collar there. You know, it releases a lot of noise. It doesn't hold in any noise. So I'm a little shocked that they didn't think about that one. Secondly, I want to talk about the offense. I'm repeating myself, but we got to go with this 2 tight end set. There's no percentage for it. All I'm asking is for 15%. That's not asking a lot for Adams and Ty to be in there, get bigger, get stronger, and be able to run the rock. If you watch film, I record all the games. Victor Cruz, after this injury, he is not having any separation. So go with the two tight end set. Let Victor Cruz rotate in. I know you disagree with that, Paul, with Victor Cruz rotating in with Shepard, but Adams runs a 4.64. I'm not sure what Victor Cruz is running right now with, you know, that slight injury afterwards. I'm really shocked that fans are picking on Flowers. I thought from game one this season, the Zebras have really picked on him. I thought there's been some awful calls against him. I really thought that safety in Pittsburgh was a bad call. I was taught as a football player that you're able to, if someone put defensive end puts his head down, tries to run through your stomach, that you're allowed to smash his back into the ground. He didn't do that, but I still think he's really gotten some bad calls. I thought they picked on Beedy a while when he used to play at left tackle, but they really picked on him. And my last thing, you know, if we're going to win a championship, I guess it's going to be on Spagnuolo, because I still, McAdoo, I just think he's got to become a head coach. Give up the play calling. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thank you, Brandon. Any thoughts, David?
I mean, there's a lot to
there's
be
There's a lot
to
there. That's why
to.
I'm going to let you pick and choose.
No, I agree. I think maybe going with more of a two tight end set, going with Jumbo, controlling and having more than a five-man protection, going six-man, maybe seven-man protection to shore up things. Because you always talk about protection will beat any coverage as long as you can do it and as long as you have skilled position receivers that can get open. And I think that's an area that definitely has to improve here.
Yeah, we actually, between the two of us, have talked about that a lot. And as much as I love Victor Cruz, and I still think he's got a lot of value on this team, especially with his instinctiveness and experience, we've seen him make a number of big plays this year because of that. So I'm not for saying Victor Cruz needs to be replaced or needs to stay on the field. What I'm saying is that this offense needs a mixture of a lot of things, including a jumbo package.
Yeah.
At least if it were me. I don't get to make those calls. Will from the Bronx, you're next. Hello. Are you there, Will? Hello.
Yes, I'm here. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Man, calling because you know, I'm going to kind of just probably help Eric Flowers out a little bit. Normally when we draft old linemen, correct me if I'm wrong, those guys are normally looked at to be here for about 10 years, right? So, you know, with Eric Flowers, he had a bad season. But, you know, the fan base and everybody is observing the same poor performance. So, you know, that's why it is what it is. But, you know, he is just in his second year. So we really need to let him get, like what you said, Paul, a couple of days ago, that third year to really get it under his belt and get it down.
Will, if I may add, and I'm going to let you talk, if I may add, not that it's an excuse, but Will, Eric Flowers spent most of the offseason rehabbing a really bad sprained ankle. Now, I'm not going to give him an excuse, but what I am going to say is, from what I understand, he's pretty darn healthy right now, as healthy as you can be this late in the season.
Yep.
If he gets out of this season relatively healthy, to me, he needs to take the initiative, or someone needs to drag him by the shoulders to some type of offensive line school, some type of martial arts school, and some place that is going to enhance his physicality and his technique. Because the sprained ankle will not be an excuse to, oh, I need to rehab, I got to take care of the ankle, I can't work on my craft. He needs to do that. Let's see if he does.
I definitely agree with that, especially since Pugh been doing that for maybe the last two seasons.
I'm just trying to be fair.
He definitely should follow behind.
That's just trying to be fair.
The other thing is that do you think Eric Flowers is better than Will Beedy? Like, you keep saying that they're getting the best five on the line out there. Will Beedy I've never seen Will Beedy be as bad as what I see Eric Flowers is. Why don't we just put him in and let Eric swing between left and right?
The Will Beedy of like 3 years ago isn't the Will Beedy today.
No. And going back to what you're talking about, technique and offensive line school, very easily put, as an offensive lineman in pass protection, you have to be a boxer. You cannot be a gunslinger. And what does that mean? As an offensive lineman in pass pro, the minute you snap out of your three-point stance or your two-point stance, you have to have your hands up, just like a boxer, protecting your framework, protecting your body, but striking the first point of emphasis or the first point that that defender gives to you. You can't be a gunslinger. By a gunslinger, what does that mean? When you're coming out of your stance, you shoot and you drop your hands and you shoot from the hip. Number one, it affects your timing in your sets. Whether it doesn't matter whether it's a three-step, a five-step, or a seven-step, it affects the timing of your feet and your hands, which have to be tied together when you're kicking back. But also, what does it do? It exposes your chest. It gives the defensive lineman a landmark to get that inside hand leverage. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to tie your hands and feet together and they're down here coming up, you are never going to be able to punch and redirect the same way you do as a boxer with those hands right up to fire instead of trying to pull them from all the way down here and get them back up.
That's true. And the broadcasters actually highlighted that in the game against Dallas when he was going up against, I can't remember the name of the defensive end, but his arms was practically right by his side.
Yep.
But with that being said, I just want to make one more point and I'll take it off the air. You know, he's looking like a first-round bust. That's what the observation is. I don't think he is. I think he got more time to develop, but that's what he's looking like. But with that being said, we got to look at the work that Jerry Reese did this offseason. We have to really take our hats off to him because with all of the holes that we had going into this past offseason and for the Giants to be where they are today, it's an amazing thing that he did this offseason. I have to give my hats off to Jerry Reese.
I will.
The rest off the air.
Appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Have you done the Lions yet this year for Fox?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I just started breaking down their film yesterday.
I started going over their film the last 36 hours as well.
Yep.
Ansa, of course, has no sacks yet this year, but we know he's a good player.
He is.
He would draw flowers in many instances, but Hyder is actually going to draw him in many instances as well in the sub-package. Now, he's a different cat because he's a former defensive tackle who's down to about 270, and he's only 6'2".
Yeah.
And he's a real short, fireplug, stout kind of guy.
He's a power.
Okay. How do you think Flowers matches up against those two guys? Because he's going to face both of them in different situations.
Well, the one that would cause him more problems is the power. Because if you let somebody get those hands inside and you let them get underneath you, what's the first thing that you're going to do to try to protect yourself? Yes, you're going to try to sit down, but you're going to try to grab and hold on to as much as you can. And that's where those hands and those arms get outside those shoulders and the blades and where it's perfectly evident for a line judge or anybody looking through to see where your hand placement is. Because if you can't sit down and get your hands inside up against that anchor, you know, then you're going to start sitting back. Then you're going to start getting bull rushed. And then what do? The next time you go and you go to set and sit down for the bull, they'll hit you with the stab and then work an outside shoulder. So they, you know, there's a, you can't, as Michael Strahan has always said, OCU Manura, Justin Tuck, you can't just come into a game and set up pass rush moves with only 12 to 13 plays. It takes a game to start setting things up and start setting up your offensive tackle or you as an offensive tackle to set up a defensive end. You know, on one time you go to kick on your third set, you kick and you flash and you hit him with your hands and you punch him. The next time you're going to kick, you can flash him real quick to see if he goes to swipe and then redirect with your hands. There's a lot of – it's just like in football. It's a chess match when you're playing offensive tackle and offensive
mentality-wise. If you are in Eric Flowers' body at 6'5", 6'6", 330 pounds, and you've got Hyder, who's only 6'2 and about 270, you have to have the mentality that, hey,
he's
I'm
not getting
a mountain.
Anywhere
he's
near
not,
my framework.
That's it. There's
he's
no
not
chance.
Getting anywhere near my body.
There's no chance.
Yep.
You have to physically beat that guy into the ground.
Yeah. And once again, it becomes it's a mentality. It's a mentality.
It's that simple. He's this little guy is not going to beat me. I'm going to punish him today.
Yep.
It's going to be that simple.
And the other way that you can do that and punish him, running the football, going right after him, wearing him down. So what does it allow you to do? It allows you to be more aggressive on your pass sets, where you can jump set, where you can do three steps, where you can do five steps, and you can be more on the aggressive.
Interesting you mentioned that, Mr. Deal.
Yes.
Because when teams run behind left tackle or run wide to the left sideline, they average 5.6 yards per carry against this Lions defense. How about that? only 4.3 yards per carry on the season, but 5.8 when running right over there. He knows what he's talking about. JD from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul, David, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just want to talk about the Lions game coming up. I do think that the Giants actually match up pretty well against the Lions.
They actually do. That's the scary
really
part.
Do, yes.
They really do.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Lions' offense, it's really – they can't run the ball either. They're 29th in the league. There's really nothing to speak of with their rushing attack. But it's predicated on the fact that they've got a pretty good quarterback and they spread the ball out phenomenally. If you look at their passing stats, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, they're almost right at 800 yards apiece. Ebron's been getting involved, and then Anquan Boldin's been a great red zone target. And against most defenses, you know, they're going to have one, maybe two really good corners, and they're still going to be able to get somebody open with the weapons that they have. But against the Giants secondary, you know, from what we've seen last year, really all season, I don't think that they're going to have a problem against this offense. I think their secondary is going to match up really well against what Detroit wants to do offensively. And, you know, they're not going to be able to go to the running game because there is no running game. So I think
they
Giants should win this Sunday.
JD, I caution you of one thing. Riddick is supposed to be back.
Yes.
The running back for the Lions, who is a very good pass receiver out of the backfield, much like Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers.
He is the third most targeted running back in the NFL right now. They use it as an extension of the running game.
Yes.
And if you really look at the way that Matthew Stafford has spread the ball, guys like Golden Tate and the rest of this receiving crew, more than 100 of Matthew Stafford's attempts have been either at or behind the line of scrimmage. So you're going to see bubble screens, quick screens, where they try to get those players in open space where they can win the one-on-one matchups, get their foot in the ground and get upfield to try staying efficient on first and second down to make defenses spread out and then try to attack with the inside zone rushing scheme.
Now, unlike Ladarius Green, who does go vertical,
Ebron does not
get vertical.
No, he
doesn't. He's a short-range guy.
Ebron is a shorter-range guy, but you also have to – he is an athletic pass-catching tight end. And if you really think about it, he has 11 receptions that are first-down receptions.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I think that Riddick and the passing game is probably the one area where the Giants don't match up well.
Yes.
And with those bubble screens and the quick passes, you know, obviously that's something that JPP excelled at defending against. With him, you know, still being out for this game, how do you kind of see the Giants attacking, you know, that scheme that they want to use without him?
Well, one of the things that why offenses do it is, number one, like I said, if there's a deficiency in the running game, so you can see that as an extension of the running game. But another reason why they do that is they want to see if they can wear down a defense. Mm-hmm. Run the football sideline to sideline, get the screens, make the defensive linemen rush from each angle, run and make sure that they chase down those ghost screens so that you get a big Damon Harrison snacks running all over the football field. They try to use that as their advantage.
You know what's interesting? They've got, in some ways, a similar philosophy that the Cowboys do, in that they want to keep their offense on the field because they know their defense is weak.
Yes.
And they want to keep their defense off the field. But the big difference is Dallas has the best offensive line in football, and they want to control the tempo of the game with the run. Detroit knows they don't have the offensive line. They don't have the running backs, so they want to control the tempo of the game with the short pass.
Yes, they do. And one of the things that you really look at is they have been able to extend drives. They have drives that have 10 plays or more that are most in the NFL because they let Matthew Stafford take his time at the line of scrimmage and really try to manipulate the clock and, like you said, to keep this defense fresh.
Awesome. Good stuff, guys. David, you're a legend amongst Giants fans of this generation like myself. Appreciate all you did. The show's great. And, I think the Giants got to win this Sunday. Go Big Blue.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate you calling in as well.
All right, JD. Thank you. Mark from Chicago, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Great
Very
show
good.
Today.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I really want to thank you for being on the show on Friday. You and John did a great analysis for about 20 minutes of the Dallas game. I really enjoyed it. It was in-depth, and there were so many things that you brought up that had me look at the game a little bit differently. And also, so many things that you said were true about how they should approach the game. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you're very kind.
Okay. Paul, I've been watching the Giants for 55 years. That game reminded me of the 81 game against Dallas, where they had to win to make the playoffs.
Joe DiNello, baby.
What was the atmosphere like in the stadium? I just thought there were a lot of things that were very similar about it.
Well, no, because I think that in 81, the Giants, remember, had not won any of their Super Bowl titles. And I think in those days, the Giants were just so desperate to make the playoffs after the better part of more than a decade of not making it, that I think every Giants fan who was in the building that day was foaming at the mouth because there was so much hunger. Okay? This is a different situation. The Giants have since gone to 5 Super Bowls. Yep. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. quite frankly, this stadium is not as tight and as closed and as homey as the old one was. So mm-hmm. you're not going to get the same kind of atmosphere. It's just not going to be. I'm sorry.
I'm still here.
No, I'm just saying. It's just that was a special time because the Giants were ending such a dark period in franchise history. See, David got here after we already started to win a little bit.
Which is a great thing.
It is a great thing.
But I will attest to that, though. The 07 run compared to the 2011 run, I mean, there was nothing like Giants Stadium.
Yeah.
One tunnel, fans right on top of you, everybody hitting the metal gates on the side, how loud it would clink, and it really was home field advantage. But I will say, in 2011, that home game up against Atlanta, Giants Stadium was rocking.
That was pretty good. Actually, you know what? So, the season finale against Dallas was pretty good, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Anyway, thanks for that. Because on TV, it just doesn't really translate. So, Paul, or guys, I wanted to bring up a couple of things about McAdoo, and I also want to give you my opinion about Flowers. There are a couple of times that McAdoo, in closing out the first half, like he did against Dallas, he was calling his timeouts to get the ball back. And there was sort of a change in position on the field, and Dallas took advantage of that using their timeouts. He did the same thing against Cleveland. Cleveland almost scored at the end of the half of that game. And I think he does it because he knows he's going to kick off at the beginning of the second half. But, you know, we don't have a very strong offense. You know, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, let's just let the clock run out and go to the second half and not give the other team an opportunity to get the ball back. I mean, if they had made that field goal, it would have been 10-0, and we were kicking off. So I want to get your comments about some of his decision-making.
You know, in general, I think you have to remember he's a rookie head coach, and thank you for the call. And he's still learning on the job, despite the fact that he's been in the NFL for more than a dozen years. This is still his first year being in control of everything. And much like a rookie player is going to have his ups and downs, a rookie head coach is also going to learn from things that maybe he wasn't so happy with either.
No question. And that is definitely a valid and great point that you bring up because, you know, sitting there watching the game myself, I'm thinking the same thing. Oh, can't leave any time. Can't give them an opportunity for Bailey to kick a long field goal because we knew that he had a big leg coming into this game. So I agree with you that those are points that, you know, those make the difference between winning and losing football games down the stretch, and I'm sure that they'll look at that and learn from it.
I will tell you this, though. The Giants won the toss the other day, and for one of the few times, they took the ball to start the game, and McAdoo did not go to deferring to get the ball to start the second half. He realized that, hey, you know what? It's better if the offense gets the ball, gets that first possession, and tries to do something with it. Now, it didn't work out, but he did change his usual M.O., understanding the situation.
Yeah, the strength of the Dallas Cowboys is their offense. Let's keep them off of the field as much as we can, starting with the opening drive.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
So, I mean, look, it's going to happen. The rookie mistakes are going to happen across the board with everybody. And so you just hope that as he, you know, grows into the job, that he does it better. Okay, is Mark next, Dave? No, we're going to Charlie from Maine. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. Hey, David.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, I gotta jump in on the Flowers thing.
I really wish you wouldn't, to be honest. I am so tired of talking about him.
That Beattie's hand placement and technique is worse than Flowers?
This is not – let me make something clear to you, Charlie. The Will Beatty that played like 3 years ago when he was actually pretty good, had a solid season, and then got a contract extension, that player does not exist today. He's been through significant injury since then. He's a couple of years older since then. He hasn't played nearly enough to have continuity with this offensive line.
And he hasn't practiced well enough to earn the right to be the starter.
There are numerous reasons.
I haven't, so has Paul. And so is this entire staff.
That Beatty is worse than Flowers, who is right now the worst NFL tackle in the league with pressures, hurries, sacks, and penalties.
Oh, hold on. Now, see, I can actually, now once you get the facts, Charlie,
Glenn Robinson,
I can
dispute
you.
Los Angeles Rams has the most
Bingo.
Penalties in the NFL.
And by the way.
Has the most pressures and the most sacks.
Correct.
Not with penalties added on.
No.
He's had,
together,
hold
he
on,
Charlie,
you're arguing with an offensive lineman who watches offensive
line
play. And not to mention, I've watched offensive line play this entire year, and I just had the Los Angeles Rams game this past weekend for Fox. And within the last 2 years, their starting left tackle has had a combined 27 penalties.
Exactly. I mean, you know, anytime you're going to come with facts, Charlie, make sure that they're right, because we will shoot you down. It's just that simple. You're not gonna pass off stuff on us that's inaccurate. Jeff from Rhode Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
How's it going, Jeff?
That's good. David, I have a question for you. I was watching a game the other night. I was listening to Bob Popper and Carl Banks on a Fan do the game, and at one point in time, Bob was asking Carl if the Giants' offensive line might have been tipping off their running plays, because it seemed, with the Dallas defensive line jumping around just before the snap of the ball, they were able to neutralize whatever the, Giants' offensive line was trying to do, which allowed Sean Lee to have such a successful night in regards to tackles. So, do you think there was anything to that? Were they actually tipping their plays off somehow, or does that actually happen? What's your opinion about that?
That happens during the game. That happens on purpose, and it doesn't matter regardless of whether they think that they can read which run plays or that you're running or not. What they want to do is they want to create confusion, number one, on which blocking scheme, who they're at, whether they move from a defensive tackle moves from a three technique over the guard to a one technique. They just basically want to change the front up. The number two, they want to see with them stemming and moving to a different position if they can cause you to have a false start and to start that off so that you're watching the defender go and all of a sudden you jump out of your stance. They're seeing if they can do that. But the biggest thing of what they're trying to do is they're trying to move, because what do they want to do? They want to create space and they want to get penetration so that you can't have a seamless double team combination block, which is run in the Giants zone running scheme.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, then that's just
that's a product of the defense
Cowboys were doing on their own, which had nothing to do with the Giants' offensive linemen tipping anything off.
No, and that's what if you've seen, which I'm sure a lot of people watch this Tampa Bay Dallas game. That's something that the Tampa Bay defensive line have been doing these last couple of weeks so that they can combat double teams and they can use Gerald McCoy to his best so that he is a upfield penetrator where you don't know if he's going to be an inside threat or if he's going to move down and he's going to win those one-on-ones.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting. Thank you for that information.
You got it.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks very much. On my unofficial count, I have Eric Flowers allowing 5 sacks this year.
Okay.
So I just want to show Charlie and everybody else out there how wrong he is. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 NFL players right now, according to Stats Inc., that have allowed more than 5 sacks this year. So at the very highest, Eric Flowers is 15th.
15.
At the highest. Doesn't sound like the most when you're 15th.
No, and believe me, I understand where there's frustration, where it's, the same thing over and over when it's coming to hand placement and that type of stuff. I get it, and I understand. But at the same time, there are other things that they can do to help things. Be more efficient running the football on first and second down so that you're not in third and long, sitting back, dropping back into a vertical set where you can't be aggressive and be the one on the attack.
You know, David, I think for me, and this is a generic comment, has nothing to do with Eric Flowers in particular. I think the frustrating thing is that fans, more often than not, are emotional and base their decisions on emotions. What I really wish that everybody would try to do is try to base things more on facts and more on, well, you know what? Every player, if he's playing, has some positives and some negatives.
Of course.
Now, maybe the negatives outweigh the positives in a certain instance, and that's fine. But you must acknowledge the entire picture, the entire body of work. And as Bill Parcells used to say, you're never as bad as you look, you're never as good as you look. And I think what's happening here is Eric Flowers has become a target that everybody wants to throw the heat-seeking missile at. The guy's got deficiencies. The guy's made a lot of mistakes. The guy needs to clean up his game. Everybody knows that. But to just waste hot air on this every single day, I'm done talking about him.
And the other thing that I will say is, don't believe everything you read about Pro Football Focus when it comes to grades and offensive linemen and all that stuff. They don't know the protections. They don't know who the running back was responsible for, who the tight end was supposed to chip. There are a lot of different factors and variables that go into it that aren't really diagnosed when it comes to when it is grading offensive line play. If you don't know offensive line play, you don't know offensive line play. I hate to say it, but because there are so many different things that go into grading out where offensive lineman's supposed to be, where the protection was going to, his reads, was he dueling a mic to his Sam to a strong safety? There's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
And I will give you one example as we close out the show. A few weeks ago, the Giants had Kelvin Shepard and Keenan Robinson on one of those statistical surveys say that they were two of, I think, the worst 10 or worst 5 defensive players in the league that particular weekend. So Bob Papa and myself went and talked to the Giants' assistant coaches, and asked them, hey, did you happen to see that? Boy, it didn't seem like they should have, quote, graded out so poorly. And the coach said, what, are you kidding me? They graded out really, really well.
Yeah.
They did terrific. It's because the statistical services don't understand the entire picture.
No.
And they will put their disclaimers on their sites.
Of course.
But it's in small print, and the fans don't want to read the small print, and they don't understand that. And so the facts are what the facts are, not what somebody perceives them to be.
Agreed.
That'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are here Monday to Friday from noon to 1 Eastern Time on Giants.com. Jot down the number 201-939-4513 or hashtag GiantsChat on Twitter. Don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock today, David and I are on MSG.
Yep.
Press conference live with Coach Ben McAdoo, and we will further break down the Giants matchup against the Detroit Lions. And remember, Sunday, Toys for Tots Day here at MetLife Stadium. If you have a new toy, and just a gift that you can bring to give to the Marines, to give some to needy children during the holidays, it would be much appreciated. Until next time, so long, everybody.